And now it's time to move on to our technology committee segment. Let me introduce the committee first. I'm co-chair Rob Turner, along with Andrea DeKlotz. We've got the Gassman brothers, John and Larry, and we've got John Glass, and those are our committee members. So what we're going to be doing today is we're going to be presenting some recordings that explain how artificial intelligence is currently being used to enhance our everyday lives. And if we get a chance, we'll delve a little bit into the future, maybe if we can, or maybe get some of your ideas about how you think it might benefit us in the future. So let's go ahead and start with a recording from Benetech, Nick Bowen, a product manager for Bookshare. So here we go.
My name is Nicholas Bowen. I am the product manager for Bookshare and some related products over at Benetech. I know most of you know us, but just in case there's one person out there that somehow hasn't heard of Bookshare, we are the world's largest library for accessible content. I love saying that. I just can't resist having an opportunity to say that. So thank you so much for this opportunity. There is, of course, a ton of work going on behind the scenes over at Bookshare, and I'm very excited for this opportunity to share some sort of behind-the-scenes look, as it were, for Bookshare and where our future might lie. So let's start with something that excites me. One of my side products is a tool called Math Detective. Now, you probably haven't heard of this because we haven't told a whole lot of people about this, so let me set the stage. For those of you that have been around Bookshare for some time, you know one of the biggest problems we have is when publishers submit to us images, but they don't submit to us any kind of description for those images. And where it's the most painful for us is in textbooks, and especially math textbooks. We consistently get scenarios where students pull up their math textbook and it'll say something like, help solve for the following equation. Image, A, image, B, image. And I know I'm speaking to the choir here because everybody that's listening to this has probably experienced that exact thing. We can talk about the effort that we've put in place for doing image descriptions across Bookshare as a whole, but even just these math equations. Some of you might remember a tool that we had called Poet, where we were trying to help determine how you write good image descriptions and how we might be able to crowdsource some of them. But the truth be told, the problem simply was scaling far faster than a human intervention could have possibly resolved. So with Math Detective, we're coming to this from a different angle. We are using AI, since that's the new in word these days in technology, to determine whether or not an image is a math equation or not. And if it is a math equation, we have an external tool that does OCR on math and turns it into accessible math for us. We do this first step for cost reasons. This external tool that we have is great, but if we were to ship every single image that we had in Bookshare out to it just to see what it came back with, Bookshare would go broke. And I wish I was exaggerating. So we do this first step where we classify the images as math or not and ship it off to this tool, who then gives us the accessible math for those things that are equations. Now, herein lies the second problem that we run into, and that's accuracy of this other tool. You know, when you OCR anything, it's never guaranteed to be 100% accurate. For those that are in the chopping and scanning side, we have something internally here that we call scanos, and that's where our OCR itself fails, and that's why at Bookshare we proofread every single book that we manually chop and scan for our members, because we want everything to be perfect. On the image side, doing this for math, it's still simply cost prohibitive to proofread every single equation coming back to us. But the tool that we have for doing the math OCR gives us one big advantage. It doesn't just return to us the accessibility part. It returns to us a confidence rating. So what we've done for our initial pass is we've said everything that's somewhere around 98% confident or above, we're going to put into our book because we are reasonably certain that anything above that confidence level, the tool got correct. Now, this lays into the second problem that this tool has run into, and that's when it returns back MathML. We would love to put MathML into our books, but for those that read Bookshare books, there's very few tools that our members tend to use that read MathML correctly. Our own web reader doesn't. Our iOS app and our Android app don't read MathML. So we needed another strategy in here. And again, we took this from something that's been around for a little while. So those that have been with us for some time might know something called MathML Cloud. It was a tool that Benetech created many, many years ago that one of its big outputs was taking in MathML and outputting a plain English text description of that math equation. Now, that's great because now we have alt text, and alt text is read across all of our devices. So this is what we've enabled. We've absorbed that functionality of MathML Cloud into the Math Detective product. And now when Bookshare submits an image over to Math Detective, it returns back yes or no on whether or not it's math. It returns back a confidence rating if it is math. And it returns back both the MathML and the plain English text description for it. And those plain English text descriptions, which is a mouthful to say, get injected into our books. That way our users have better information when they need it. So the first pass of this is done. As of this recording that I'm doing here for you guys, we have 6 million images in Bookshare that we have remediated or added alt text to. But that's still just the first start because we submitted 22 million math equations. So there's still more work to be done here, but I think it's great that we're that far along in the process. Call it 30% success rate so far with just our very, very first pass. So some key pieces of this, some stats that might be of interest. The external tool that we use for this does have a rate limit. The rate limit is essentially about 30,000 images per hour. So when we turn this on at full speed, assuming that, of course, not all images are math images, we could probably do 60, 70,000 images per hour through our tool and just make sure we're rate limiting to this external tool to do the OCR. The other neat thing, and this is what really gets me excited, is what we've built is a modular set of infrastructure to do image descriptions as a whole. So right now we focused on math equations because that what we saw was the biggest need. But if we use our classification engine that says, yes, this is a math equation or not, we can train that to say, well, how about tables? How many times have we found books where there's a table that for some reason the publisher put in an image? What if we did basic shapes? How many times do publishers put just very basic shapes, circles, triangles, squares, and still there's no descriptions for those? We could train an engine for that. Maybe even charts and graphs. Do something where it says this is a line chart that points upward, or a parabola that points upward. We do have to be a little bit careful because we do focus on U.S. students. And sometimes these images in these books are meant to prompt students to find answers. So we have to be a little bit careful that we don't accidentally give away the answer. But I think we can do so much more with this piece of infrastructure. So let me take it one step further. So we've talked about that image classification system that we have that is growing. What if we could do that to a whole page? So this is actually the second product that I'm working on besides Benetech or besides Bookshare. Internally, we call this Page AI, but the purpose of this is to scan a whole page and segment that page into headings, paragraph text, and bucket images. We don't care what kind of image yet. We just care that it's an image. If we can do that, we can then OCR the text with tools that we know very well, and we can send that image to Math Detective, which really now needs to be renamed like Image Detective or something, and reassemble a book on the fly with full text, full image descriptions, ready to be accessible in an EPUB format that anybody can read anywhere. We think that whole process takes minutes, probably less than 10, probably less than 5, probably depends on the size of the book. If my engineer is listening to this, he's probably yelling at me right now for overpromising. But it's a great possibility. And that's what really, really, really excites me, because I see a path forward now to where somebody could chop and scan a book and make that book live in Bookshare same day. For those that know our chop and scan process today for books that students need, the books that they need today, at worst case scenario, those processes still can take 3 months because we do need to proofread everything. Imagine if we can take that down and make it same day turnaround. So that's what excites me most about Bookshare. But again, this is Bookshare. We have 1,000 other things going on all at the same time. So the next thing that's probably very interesting to a lot of people is our Alexa skill. This skill is in beta as we speak. So if anybody is interested, email smartspeaker@benetech.org or smartspeaker@bookshare.org and ask if you'd like to be added to the Alexa beta. We're hoping that this new app can be released sometime later this year, but it is still very early, so don't hold me to that one yet. Some other unrelated topics, but something that's probably of interest for a lot of people, is Marrakesh. So for those that don't know, Marrakesh is a treaty that takes the U.S. copyright exemption that Bookshare resides under, allowing us to share content without permission from the copyright owners. That extends that worldwide, and I put a big asterisk after worldwide because it extends it worldwide to those that have joined the treaty, which right now is more countries than – I think there's more countries a part of it than aren't, but don't quote me on that. I think it's really close. This is really exciting for us because we are constantly talking to international partners about sharing content. We're in regular meetings with Canada and UK and Australia about sharing content, and Ireland about sharing content. We have regular meetings with various other libraries within Europe about sharing content. And we have just implemented a couple of new features that makes it easier for those groups to work with Bookshare. Now, the first place where this will probably show up is with the growing world. Southern African countries, South American countries. These are groups where Bookshare is on the ground right now trying to build out the local Bookshare library and work with groups on the ground to get content into Bookshare. Those libraries don't have what I would call a critical mass of content, but they have great content that's especially focused to those local individuals. But that content will be shareable across to our Bookshare US members as well. Where I hope to see this in the very, very near future is with several European partners. I know of several libraries in the European scene that have huge collections of content that could be very interesting to our Bookshare US members. And I'd be really, really excited to get some of those guys on board and moving that content, sharing that content across borders. So the question is, of course, are there any books today available within Bookshare that are only available to members because of the Marrakesh Treaty? The answer is absolutely yes. But of course, we make this difficult to know for sure which books they are. So behind the scenes, what Bookshare has done is used the Marrakesh availability as one of our other access rules. So when our users search and find content, whatever content that's available for them automatically pops up in that search. Some of that content may only be available to you because of the Marrakesh Treaty. Now, where this content comes from today, 99.99% of it that our users will find on Bookshare right now will come from our publishing partners. Our publishers will say, in the olden days, they would have geographic restrictions on their content, where they can put it to or distribute the content to. And we would use that within Bookshare to say, you know, publisher A submits a book and says this book is only available to members from Ireland. We would have those rules on the back end that says, okay, well, Bookshare member from Ireland can see that. Nobody else can see that. And we do have lots of books. We have lots of books that are restricted to the UK or restricted to various other countries outside of the US. But a lot of these publishers have told us, here are the geographic restrictions for distribution that we have, but you can also distribute it to Marrakesh countries. So now all of the content that's restricted to just Canada or just the UK or something that's outside of the US, if they have that check mark, they're now available to Bookshare members as well. I don't have a number for exactly how many titles this adds to Bookshare users today, but it is very, very large. We have added a ton of new publishers into Bookshare within the last several months to a year. They're all over the place. So it really is, it's hard to pull one out and says, this is the key publisher that went live that excites me the most. Possibly Harvard Education Press. That one actually went live at the end of March. And that was exciting for us because we love getting college presses. So getting Harvard on board was a great achievement for us. But there's been a ton of them over these past many months. Cross your fingers and knock on every piece of wood that you can find around you. We are right at the cusp of breaking 1,000 publishers. We're just under 1,000 publishers. So go out and help us get that 1,000th publishers. We are so very excited to announce to the world that we have 1,000 publishers working with us. So the last thing I wanted to talk about is what's coming for Bookshare in the longer term. Something that excites me the most is we are working on a new web reader to read MathML. As I talked about before, one of the biggest challenges that we have is the readers that our users typically use don't read MathML. So we are building our own. That way we can better support our users with that. The goal here is to make this our go-to reader, our primary reader. I'm hoping the big goal here is I'm hoping to have beta for the web reader by back to school this year. So we've got, you know, 3 more months, give or take, and we'll have more information out there for people.
All right. Anyway, so that was from Benetech. Next, I have a little description of MathML that I put together. And let's go ahead and hear that and then just go on from there into the next recording, which would be, I'm not sure what number 3 is.
It's PictureSmart.
Yeah, PictureSmart.
And then ConvenioSmart.
Hi, this is Rob. As some of you will remember, I had the pleasure of working at Benetech for 12 years, 8 years as a quality assurance engineer. Most of the work was with Bookshare. One of the bright spots was working with Nick. He was always very supportive, and I think his enthusiasm for his work really came through in his demonstration. He talked quite a bit about MathML. That stands for Math Markup Language. Another markup language that we're all very familiar with is HTML, Hypertext Markup Language. As Nick pointed out, many of our reading devices don't recognize MathML. Some of you may be asking, what is a markup language? Markup languages use a variety of tags to determine precisely how the output will be formatted. A simple example of an HTML tag is the title tag. and that would be coded as less than sign, title, greater than sign, title text, slash, less than title, greater than. More complex tags can consist of multiple parameters. If you find properly coded MathML on the internet with JAWS, it will recognize it. JAWS will read the equation and then announce math content. Press enter to have the equation read in the math viewer. The focus is on the first character of the equation. For this demonstration, I've chosen an equation called a quadratic formula. Here's how JAWS reads it.
X equals fraction, negative b plus or minus the square root of b squared minus 4ac over 2a.
I humbly acknowledge I would never be able to solve that one. Next, I'll use the right arrow to navigate the equation.
X equals negative b plus or minus the square root of b squared minus 4ac over 2a. No more terms at this level of the current expression.
JAWS tells you when you've reached the end of the equation. JAWS also tells you when you've reached the beginning of the equation by saying,
no prior terms at this level of the current expression.
To zoom in on the part of the equation with focus, press the down arrow. Zoom out with the up arrow. The x and the equal sign at the beginning of this quadratic formula do not have elements at a lower level. Here's what JAWS speaks when you press the down arrow in this situation.
No lower levels for the current expression.
When I move focus past the x and the equal sign to the main equation, I hear
negative b plus or minus the square root of b squared minus 4ac over 2a.
So I'll press the down arrow to zoom in one level.
Negative b plus or minus the square root of b squared minus 4ac, numerator.
Notice that the denominator wasn't spoken. I'll zoom in to the next level down.
Negative b plus minus sign square root of b squared minus 4ac.
To summarize, to navigate the equation, use the right and left arrow keys. To zoom in, press the down arrow. To zoom out, press the up arrow. Each time you press the down arrow on a part of the equation that has multiple levels, you see less and less of the equation. This makes the equation much easier to understand. The Math Viewer provides Braille support. Equations are represented on the Braille display in Nemeth code. I don't know how Benetech plans to implement MathML support in their web reader. I hope they take a similar approach to what we've seen today. Admittedly, this presentation turned out to be somewhat esoteric. Not necessarily the way I planned it. Oh well, after all, this is the Technology Committee segment of your program.
And by the way, for best results, because they just did some more work with MathML in JAWS 2021, maybe a release or two ago. So for the best results, try and use JAWS 2021. Pardon me? Oh, April edition. Yeah, I couldn't remember whether it was April or March. Okay, next is John and PictureSmart.
For those of us who are JAWS users, we know how powerful this screen reader can be. A couple of years ago, Freedom Scientific / Vespero introduced AI. Everybody's introducing AI into their features these days. And this particular application is called PictureSmart. Now, with PictureSmart, you can literally find a picture on your computer or maybe on the internet, and run it through PictureSmart. It goes up into the cloud, and the cloud basically describes the picture as best it can and brings the results back to you. And it goes through a couple of different servers. Microsoft has one, Google has one, IBM, just to name a few. None of these descriptions or pictures are held onto by Freedom Scientific. They just basically send them up where they need to go in order to get descriptions. Some of the descriptions are pretty good. Some of them are just okay, but at least you have a better way of knowing what you have in front of you. It even works with a picture that you might take of somebody or something, as long as there is text associated with that picture. I'm going to demonstrate, if I can, a couple of situations, pictures that I have taken to give you an idea of what that is all about. And the first thing we'll do is run over to some pictures that I took at an Angel game about 8 years ago.
See? Users John Gassman desktop, my pictures, John Angel photos.
Okay. I've got that folder labeled, and I even have the picture labeled, but I still want to run through PictureSmart and have PictureSmart describe it to you. So you can do that in a number of ways. You can use the layered keystroke insert space P for PictureSmart and F for file. Or you could hit your applications key and down arrow.
Context menu. Open. Convert. Creates. Create a new. Edit with photo. Edit with paint. Set as desk. Edit. Print. PictureSmart with JAWS.
And press enter. So we'll do it that way this time, and then on the next one I'll use the keystroke. So we'll press enter here.
Leaving menus. See? Users John Gassman desktop, my pictures, John Angel photos. Items view multi-select list box. Heading level 2 caption is a man standing in front of a fence. Heading level 3 these tags describe the photo. Outdoor, person. Heading level 3 these tags probably describe the photo. Man, sports uniform, stadium. Heading level 3 these tags possibly describe the photo. Baseball, clothing. Link more results.
Now, for some reason, when we did this demonstration a couple of years ago for FSCast, it actually said Angel Stadium of Anaheim in the results. It didn't say that just now, and I'm not sure why. Now, I may have mentioned that sometimes PictureSmart can pick out in its database famous people. And I've got a picture around here somewhere of me standing in front of a backdrop at work with Walt Disney in the background from one of his pictures. And PictureSmart actually identified Walt Disney in the picture. You have to be famous in order for that to happen. So it won't identify me or Gabe Griffith or Sarah Harris. Well, it might identify Sarah Harris. I'm not sure. But it certainly does find famous individuals and announces their names, as you'll see in this PictureSmart example from a Disney picture. Insert space P for picture.
PictureSmart.
And F.
PictureSmart is in progress.
And now it's processing.
Heading level 2 caption is Walt Disney et al. Posing for the camera. Heading level 5 total number of faces in this photo is 2. Heading level 4 this object appears in the photo. Person. Heading level 4 these objects possibly appear in the photo. Hat. Man. Heading level 3 these tags describe the photo. Man. Person. Heading level 3 these tags probably describe the photo. Military. Standing. Heading level 3 this tag possibly describes the photo. People. People.
With the recent JAWS 2021 release back in October, or maybe it was November, I can't remember now, there was an addition made to PictureSmart, and that allows you to do insert space, P for PictureSmart, C for control when you're on a website. And if it's, say, Facebook, for example, and you've run into one of those situations where the image isn't identified, or maybe the individuals placing the picture into Facebook don't describe it with text. It just says image, and you have no idea what that is. Usually, PictureSmart does a pretty good job of identifying that particular picture. And I know Facebook and their AI have come a long way and done a good job too, but they can't get everything. And so you have another option. You can use PictureSmart. Sometimes it does a very good job and sometimes okay, but it's just a matter of experimentation. So insert space, P for PictureSmart, C for control on one of those web pages. That's a brief description of PictureSmart. Hope you enjoyed it, and thank you very much for listening.
And our next presentation is Convenient OCR. First of all, let me say that I am not going to be covering Convenient OCR exhaustively. There isn't time. I would suggest that if you'd like to know more about it and read all about it, that you go to the JAWS Help Topics selection and arrow down to JAWS Help Topics, type in convenient, and it will take you to all that there is with a great description of convenient OCR and how you can use it, even with the Pearl camera or with a flatbed scanner, etc. But what we're going to talk about today is the convenient OCR aspect from a computer, how you can access it to read documents that are on your computer, that are PDF. Now, years ago, I had PDF documents that I could never read. As some of you know, John and I are incredibly involved with old-time radio. We have had done radio shows since 1973. We've collected thousands upon thousands of radio shows and printed materials documents, some of which we could never read. The PDFs were not available to us to read, especially if they were in JPEG files. That all changed about 2 years ago when Convenient OCR was actually released by Vespero. We're going to talk briefly about how you can actually access it. And like any JAWS-related application, there is more than one way to access it and to use it. You can open Convenient OCR and it'll read it as a PDF, or you can actually open Convenient OCR and it can be actually read to you in Microsoft Word if you happen to have an Office application on your computer. What is Convenient OCR? Convenient OCR, actually the OCR part, stands for Optical Character Recognition. So Convenient OCR gives you the ability to access text that is within an image. For years, if you downloaded a document that was a PDF document, you couldn't read the actual text that was in that document because it was a graphical image, and JAWS wouldn't read graphical images. Now, with Convenient OCR, you can read those images, especially if there's text in them. Now, you may remember that I mentioned that John and I are very much involved in old-time radio, and we have scripts as well. A lot of them do read, but there are some that don't. And in this particular case, there was a wonderful book put out by Gabe and Suzanne Barabas about Gunsmoke many, many years ago. And I have sections of that book that were sent to me, and they're PDF documents. The problem is they don't read because they're not OCR'd, but that is all fixed with Convenient OCR. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to press enter. And it's going to go through the process.
Barabas 01.pdf Adobe Acrobat Reader DC 32-bit. Reading order, combo box, left to right, top to bottom.
Okay, so I'm going to tab reading over to start.
Do not show the start button.
I could actually press Alt-S and it would start, but I'm just showing you the process. We're going to push enter.
Barabas 01.pdf Adobe Acrobat Reader DC 32-bit. Document, alert, empty document dialog. This document may be a scanned image, which makes it difficult or impossible for JAWS or Fusion to read without first scanning the document with OCR. Would you like JAWS to OCR the document now? Yes button. To activate, press spacebar.
There is also a no button in case you want to press that, but we're going to press yes.
AV page view. To activate, press spacebar. Document.
And now you hear some audible sounds to let you know that it is actually doing something. And we'll stop it and let you know when it's finished.
The radio program's Gunsmoke was on radio from April 26, 1952, to June 18, 1961. The actors that graced its soundstage were the best in the industry. The radio principals were William Conrad as Matt Dillon, Georgia Ellis as Kitty Russell, Howard McNear as Dr. Charles Adams, and Parley Bear as Chester Wesley Proudfoot.
Okay, so that actually took that image and made that PDF actually read to you. The cool thing about that is even if it's not correctly OCR'd, Convenient OCR will do it for you, which is wonderful. There are a number of ways to actually do this from not inside the document, but from the document list as well. So we're going to Alt-F4 out of this.
Alert, empty document.
Okay, so now it says empty document because I Alt-F4'd. I'm going to Alt-F4 one more time.
Radio Gunsmoke logs it.
And you can do a number of things. You can actually, we're on the Gunsmoke list.
Barabas03.pdf.
Okay, so now I'm going to hit the applications key. You can do this from outside the document.
Convert, open, print, picture, smart, convenient OCR to Word with JAWS.
So you can do convenient OCR with Word. We'll do that in a minute.
Convenient OCR with JAWS.
We'll press enter.
Leaving menus. Radio Gunsmoke logs and articles. Barabas radio info. Items view multi-select list box. Barabas03.pdf.
And it's actually doing it for you.
31 p.m.
Without the little message coming up telling you. So you don't have to be inside the document for this to work. And when it's done, it'll start reading.
The programs is on Clay side, and Matt is forced to do his duty. He's Barabas03.
If you wanted to use layered commands, this is perhaps the quickest way. To open OCR in Word, you just do insert space and then O for OCR and then R. and it opens it in Word, and then you can save it from there. You can do almost anything that you could do in a Word document, and it's that quick. Running out of time now to talk about OCR with JAWS, but look at the help files and read them, and you'll find out there's probably a lot you didn't know about convenient OCR, and it'll help you in your everyday activities.
Well, thank you very much, Larry and John, for those excellent presentations. I don't know if because of the earlier snafu with my mute button, was I able to introduce the committee?
Yes, you were.
Okay, good. All right. So, John, I'm going to turn it over. John Glass, I'm going to turn it over to you. We've got about, so maybe 7 or 8 minutes for questions, if there are that many. Anyway, so let's go ahead and find out what the audience thinks.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Rob, and I just want to make sure with you that I'm coming through okay.
Is
that the case?
Yep.
Good, good. Well, what a great group of presentations. This has really been a lot of excellent information that we've had here this morning. And we, as Rob said, do have a few minutes for questions. So I know that, of course, Rob and Larry and I believe John are here. And I don't know whether or not Nick is with us this morning.
No, Nick, it's just a recording.
Okay. That's kind of what I thought. So let's go ahead and open it up and see if we have any raised hands from people who would like to ask a question.
Andy?
I had a question about the convenient OCR. Sometimes I will get the message, it will say, OCR failed to start. What does that mean? And why would that happen?
Sometimes it's always meant to work with PDF documents primarily.
Yeah.
So if you try and open it with another type of document, you'll get that warning. And, you know, if it's not completely installed correctly, that comes up as well.
I sometimes you can open it, you know, with a layered command, whereas if you try and open it in terms of either Shift F10 or with the applications, it may not always work. They were working on that. I don't know if they've actually solved that. But sometimes if you open it through the layered command sequence that we talked about, it will work.
Currently.
What, John?
Okay.
It is solved currently now.
Okay.
Rob, were you going to have Andrea talk about something specific?
Would you like to, Andrea?
Sure, absolutely.
Go, please do. Let's do it.
I have a wonderful little app that I use. This is just sort of to finish up the presentation. I've used this app for years, and it's really amazing, and I'm just amazed how many people don't know about it. And I don't remember whether it's free, but if it costs something, it's maybe $2. I don't know whether this app is available on the Android platform, but you can certainly search for it. The app is called Get Human Pro, G-E-T, new word, H-U-M-A-N, new word, P-R-O. What it does is it gives you phone numbers for businesses, usually toll-free numbers, and it tells you how to get to a person. And we all know these days that a lot of companies are using synthetic speech or some kind of, and this is AI in a sense, some kind of automated system that takes prompts from the person and replies based on those prompts. And sometimes those systems can be very frustrating because they don't really get you what you need. So I have found this app to be really useful. And apparently they keep it updated because more often than not, I can find what I need from businesses to large companies to airlines to my help for my insurance company, the customer service line for my Medicare insurance company. You can dictate into it or you can type the company name into it and it'll try to find results based on what you put in. And it retains the last few results that you put in there. So you can, when you go in, when you open the screen, you'll see the last three or four things that you asked for, but you can always write them down from once you get the results come up, then you can make a note of them. But it not only gives you the phone number, but it will even say press 1 and then 0 and then 0 to get help. And I've had this app I've had an iPhone 9 years now, and this was probably one of the first apps I got. And it still works. So
just that's great.
It's a great tool.
We have
thank
another
you. Hand? Thank you, Andrea. We do. I think Judy had her hand up.
Yep, she does. Judy?
We got one question. Time for one question.
There you go.
Go ahead, Judy.
Yeah, you're unmuted, Judy. But we don't hear you.
Oh, boy. Shoot. Well, that's too bad.
That's too bad.
Well, we're about out of time. It's 10:25. Let me just take a minute to thank all of the committee members, Andrea, co-chair, Larry and John, and then John Glass. Very much appreciate all your help getting all this stuff together. So, again, thank you, everybody. All right. Do we have time for a door prize, Lisa? Yes, I think we do. If our esteemed treasurer is there.
Okay, let's do it. So $25 Amazon gift card donated by CCB. And the winner is Dana Koy, K-U-O. I know I said that wrong, so I'm so sorry.
Well, that's okay. That's congratulations to her or him, whoever it was. Not a name I'm familiar with. All right, let's go ahead and hear from our silver sponsor, Humanware.
Humanware is proud to support the California Council of the Blind's 2021 conference. For more information, we encourage everyone to visit us by downloading our HW Buddy application available on iOS and Android. And you can visit us online at www.humanware.com. To reach us by phone, dial 1-800-722-3393. We hope everybody has a fantastic conference.
Thank you for that, Humanware. Appreciate your support.